Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. My guest is Renee Rosen, whose new novel, Park Avenue Summer, is now available for everywhere you buy your fine books. And this kind of diverts from your normal, I guess, genre of setting novels in New York, Renee. And so you moved to New York with this one and really tell the story of Helen Gurley Brown when she took over Cosmopolitan magazine in the mid-60s during basically the second wave of feminism. So what was it about when you set about to write a book? Did you know you wanted it set in New York in a specific time period? And had you been sick of writing Chicago? How did that come about?
Well, so this was a bit of a departure for me. And I knew I wanted to set a novel somewhere other than Chicago, and I had actually been binge-watching Mad Men, and I just fell in love with New York during that time period, you know, 50s, 60s, and so that was sort of my jumping-off point, to set it in New York in that time period, and then the rest kind of started to roll out from there.
When you write a historical fiction novel like you have here, and you have the real character of Helen Gurley Brown, how much do you learn about her before going into it that so you can, you know, let your creative juices take over as far as making up the rest of the story?
So in terms of research, I do it a little bit simultaneously. I have to get a foundation. So I started, reading her book, Sex and the Single Girl, which was such a scandalous book that came out in 1962. There were some wonderful biographies that were about her. I watched a lot of interviews on YouTube because she was interviewed widely. And then from there, I started to sort of sketch out the book, you know, and I don't outline. I wish I could. But so I just started, found my starting point or what I thought was my starting point and then filled in with more research along the way.
Isn't it pretty limiting, though, as an author to use a real historical figure in your novel because you're kind of set in that closed universe of what their life actually was?
Well, and yeah, you are, but in regards to Park Avenue Summer, I actually introduced a fictional character so that I could show the impact of, you know, this young girl, Alice Weiss, who moves to New York from Youngstown, Ohio, goes to work for Helen Gurley Brown, and through Alice, we get to see the impact that someone like Helen Gurley Brown had on her. And the other thing, in terms of Helen Gurley Brown, it was very easy to make her almost a caricature because she was so over the top, you know, with the wigs and the makeup and the, you know, short dresses and all. So there was a lot of great challenge there in terms of craft for me. You know, how do I bring this woman to life and show her as a multidimensional woman and not just the stereotype that we think of?
For me, I remember, I always knew Cosmopolitan as the magazine that it is, well, was or is today or whatever, growing up, because I'm only in my mid-40s. But when Helen took over Cosmopolitan, what was the paradigm for what the magazine was versus what she turned it into?
Yeah, so Cosmopolitan had actually been around since the 1800s. It was a literary magazine. Mark Twain wrote for Cosmo, Edith Wharton, Kipling, and then Hearst kept sort of reskinning and reinventing the magazine. And, you know, by the time post-World War II, when Helen comes on board, it is full-on women's magazine aimed at suburban housewives. So if you can imagine the Cosmo that we know of today, filled with casserole recipes and gelatin mold recipes and how to get your floor clean. So that's what she inherited and then just completely turned it on its side.
Did she have a lot of uphill battles? I mean, were there people trying to sabotage her within Hearst organization?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a big part of the book of Park Avenue Summer is, you know, Helen took this job with no magazine experience, no editorial experience. All she was known for was writing this very scandalous bestseller, Sex and the Single Girl. And Hearst was very afraid that she was going to try and turn their magazine into a version of her book, which was exactly what she did. So, you know, people quit on her right away. Members of her staff did not want to work for her. Hearst, in the book, they slashed her budget, but in reality, they just had never changed the budget since post-World War II. So she had no money. She had to get very, very resourceful. And there were leaks. There were people that really wanted to see her fail.
When I read the book, I thought back to the episode of Seinfeld where Elaine took over writing the J. Peterman catalog. And there was all kinds of the same sabotage going on within the within that magazine at the time. I know that was a fictionalized version of it, but I couldn't help but wonder, and maybe, I don't know if you've seen the episode, but could that have been
different?
Okay. Well, it seems like this...
Now I have to go back and look at it.
Well, this whole story, it seems like it had been told in some fashion on Seinfeld, and you explained that episode of Seinfeld to me in a much more detailed manner by this book. So is this a tale that has been told time and again with women who've taken over in a male-dominated industry and have tried to do something good?
Well, I think that is a theme of women sort of defying the odds, which is, you know, you want somebody that you can root for and cheer for, but also the story of a young girl leaving her small Midwestern town and heading to the big city. I mean, that's a story that we've seen over and over again. So, you know, and hopefully I made it a little, you know, something different. But, yeah, I think we've seen women defying odds. You know, look at Katharine Graham with Washington Post and, you know, women stepping into a man's world and turning it into something that no one ever expected.
When you talked about earlier about going setting a book in this time era in New York, is it a thing where you look at it and you say, God, it'd be great. It was such an amazing time to write about. It's a great time for a fiction piece to be, you know, written about it. But is it an era that you would want to go back to?
Oh, I would love just for the clothes alone, you know, would be so fun. But, you know, I mean, certainly a lot tougher for women. We still have a long ways to go, but it was especially tough back then. But I think there was a certain glamour about that time period, you know, and particularly in the slice of it that you find in Park Avenue Summer. And I just think that would be a fascinating time. Plus, all the changes that were going on. You know, as you mentioned, the second wave of feminism. You know, it's a chance to really get out there and make a difference.
And it seemed to me, as I read it, the 60s, when this book is set, it had its own identifying things about that decade. I mean, we remember Summer of Love, the music. But thinking about this, it seems like we don't have decades that are defined anymore as well as the 60s, and maybe the 80s were the last decade that had it, but did you get that feeling as you wrote this, that this was a quintessentially 60s book?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just, you know, and I tried to do it subtly, you know. You can't hit everything because so much was going on in that time period, but, you know, everything from, you know, contraception to... you know, women's rights, harassment in the workplace. You know, Me Too wasn't even on the horizon when I started working on this book. It just, you know, there was no Me Too at that point. So, you know, it was sort of interesting to see how quickly things evolve now versus back then.
Well, it's just, I watched Mad Men when it came out, and it was a fantastic show, and then just reading this kind of took me back to that time period. The book is Park Avenue Summer by Renee Rosen. It is just a fantastic piece of historical fiction, and it really takes you back to a time and era that is gone, but has hopefully been improved, and we've turned a corner here with Me Too and all that. Renee, just a fantastic offering here for us to enjoy this summer. It's Park Avenue Summer. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thanks so much for having me on.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.